Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
7:43, 17 till 8. I got that password coming up for the Jazz Fest tickets at the top of the hour. Mike Pearlstein joins us right now, WWL Louisiana reporter. He had a story last night about the low barrier shelter that, was just very attention-getting. How you doing, Mike?
Good morning, Tommy.
Congratulations again on some great work, a great story. It's not a happy story, but it is good reporting. Tell me the background, if you will, for context on this low barrier shelter.
Well, sure. This is the city's most ambitious effort to get involved in easing the homeless problem by taking a couple floors of the old VA hospital, shuttered since Katrina, renovating them, and turning it into a low barrier shelter. Now, that is a type of shelter. It's been used in other cities successfully that can absorb a lot of the homeless population without a lot of restrictions that you see in other shelters, which might, you know, require name, ID, you know, being held or sort of locked in with certain hours. The low barrier shelter is that homeless people can come and go pretty much as they please with certain basic rules, no drugs, no weapons, there's a metal detector and security. But my story revealed that much of those safeguards failed. We saw a very dramatic failure on March 28th when, as you recall in the news, two residents inside the shelter were stabbed by or cut with a knife by a third resident, and who was then subsequently shot by a security guard, and NOPD officers on the scene also used their tasers. So it was quite a little bit of mayhem. And what I was able to find out by talking to employees and former employees of the shelter, as well as, you know, some of the residents themselves, is that the kind of conditions that led to that stabbing are every day inside that shelter. And, you know, we were able to pinpoint a variety of reasons. There's been turmoil in the management of the place. So it's city-owned. Some $5 million went into the renovation to turn it into this low-barrier model. But the city contracts with an outside operator. And the operator that had been running it since 2018, named Start Corporation, got into friction with the city for a variety of reasons. They claimed that they were not getting paid. The city, on the other hand, said that there were some, you know, performance issues, and the city decided not to continue with Start Corporation. Now they're in flux negotiating with Odyssey House, which successfully operates a drug treatment homeless shelter, and they should be taking over around June 1st. But inside, it's just been really complete turmoil. There's not a lot of sort of public eyeballs on what goes inside. So I went ahead and spoke to a range of people very familiar with the daily goings on, and it's not a pretty picture.
Tell me some of the things they tell you, Mike.
Well, for starters, we know, you know, from the stabbing that it's a difficult place under any circumstances, even maybe under the optimal circumstances. You're dealing with a population with a lot of mental illness and drug
addiction.
Unstable,
to say the least, right?
Yeah, and so that is your homeless population, and those are the very reasons why many people are unhoused and living on the street. And the idea of getting them into a shelter is for, you know, safety, to have, you know, some kind of eyeballs on them. And, you know, hopefully some counseling and transition to more permanent housing. Now, the very basics with, say, a, you know, wand, metal detector, is keep weapons out. Well, we talked to employees who said there are weapons, knives, razor blades, hammers, that they find in there all the time. So a really basic task like just having security at the front gate or door to keep out weapons, that's failing. And obviously somebody on the inside stabbing two residents is very violent and dramatic evidence of that. But that goes on every day. What was maybe most alarming to me was an admission by these former employees that the trading of stolen goods, a lot of it shoplifted by the homeless themselves. We know that those kind of things get traded out on the street where we have homeless encampments, but it was shocking that it's rampant inside the shelter, number one, and that many of the employees are among the buyers of stolen goods. The people that I interviewed, hidden identity for their anonymity, they just threw it out like it was so routine that it wasn't a bridge too far for them. They're low paid. Hey, the goods are there, and they buy stuff. That really clearly does not help the cause of, you know, kind of putting this homeless population on the right path. So that kind of environment, which weapons inside, trading of stolen goods, and that's layered on top of what might be more difficult, the most difficult thing to control would be getting in drugs.
Let me take a break, Mike, and we'll pick it up with drugs, okay? Because I got to get a break in for traffic. And it seems as though, on the surface, that the city's subsidizing a flop house slash fencing operation. That's what it sounds like. And maybe a den of drugs as well. We'll find out more from Mike Pearlstein. We come back, one of the excellent investigative reporters over at WWL Louisiana. His story about this low barrier shelter that, and I know the city has had trouble paying its bills, but certainly there are performance issues here if all of this stuff's happening. 750, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
7:56, 4 till 8. Quickly back to Mike Pearlstein, WWL Louisiana reporter. His story last night about this low barrier shelter and what's going on in there. He's already told us about weapons of all types being commonplace, about the trading or at least the sale of stolen goods. And Mike, you were about to tell us about drugs.
Drugs, not a big surprise that it's one of the main issues facing, you know, people who are homeless and maybe the direct cause, whether alcoholism or drug addiction. And being a low barrier shelter with minimal services, there's not a lot of drug counseling, but there is a strict rule not to bring drugs on the inside. Well, of course, just like the weapons, just like stolen goods, we find that drugs are plentiful inside the shelter. If you just go to the sidewalk outside the shelter, you see hypodermic needles and other paraphernalia littered on the ground. So people are clearly shooting up right outside on the steps of the shelter. And that finds its way inside, which really, kind of begs the question of, is the city, having a positive impact on this population, or is it just concentrating the problems facing the homeless population in one place? And, this is a pretty substantial investment, and it's maybe a little more difficult to get to sort of the root cause of why things, did not go as planned for this to be a helpful step as it has been in other cities. And we did find that the city hasn't talked much about it, nor has the previous operator, Stark Corporation. But obviously, there were some serious problems. The city was accused by Stark of not paying their bills. Unfortunately, we've heard that from other vendors.
But apparently, in this case, Mike, from what you've uncovered, the company's not doing what they're supposed to do, right? I mean, wanting people and keeping weapons out?
So you peel back a couple layers, and yes, the city was negligent in paying, and there was some, billing confusion and snafus, didn't get sorted out in timely ways. Some of the bills didn't get paid timely. But the city, on the other hand, points to the Stark Corporation not sort of fulfilling its primary mission. And I was able to pinpoint from the employees who've been there for the duration that the shelter opened with 100 beds back in 2018. And by 2022, and things were rolling pretty well at that level, 100 beds. And by 2022, city engaged in a major expansion. They opened a whole new floor and it expanded to 346 beds. But at the same time, it appears that Stark Corporation did not increase the staff at the shelter proportionate to more than tripling the population. So you can just imagine if you have the same number of staff and security guards for 100, and you just leave that number for 346, the place is not going to be supervised. It became overrun with all of these problems. That was among the reasons the city was maybe not so quick and eager to make right on its contract payments. And in City Hall Insider basically described to me as a bad divorce.
Mike, we're out of time. Do you have a part two coming up on this?
Well, what we are going to get at is all of the EMS calls, emergency calls, violence calls, drug overdose calls, Narcan revivals inside the shelter. So stay tuned. I have a public records request in for all of that information.
You can come back when you get it. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.